Live from Macho Blue Earth, Robbins Kaplan Studios, Native Roots Radio.
We went to all the powwows when we were young. At that time, children could not dance. Only people over 50 years of age could dance. Most people do not know this, that the government forbid children to dance Indian. And that was so they could wipe out the culture of the young people. And then finally, the new generation would never know what
I'm a member of the American Indian Movement, and I'm from the indigenous nations of the Western Hemisphere.
We American Indians, we can be anything we want to be, except American Indians.
You were here long before any of us were here.
Buju, everybody. My name is Peggy Flanagan. Guabagani Gadikaka Njujuba. I'm from the White Earth Nation, and my family's the Wolf Clan.
Was trouble in Custer, South Dakota yesterday.
The American Indian Movement is a very proud, continuing part of American Indian society. I thank you.
But what I tell you is that we are not backing down. We're here, we'll stand here, because we have been here for 10,000 years. We're the home team, and we're not going anywhere. We're rich.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Ahu, Ho-Chunk Raja, Wakunjahade, Hingadena. Hey, on today's show, I just want to wish everybody a happy, happy Indian month, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that today. We also have Winona LaDuke, Mary Kunish Podine, Ruth Buffalo on today, Wendy Pilot, Nancy Bolio, Robert Lilligren, and Emma Needham, and of course, Uncle Curtis. So let's start off with Mary Kunish Podine.
Haumatakeape, it's State Representative Mary Kunish Podine, District 41B, candidate for the Senate. I hope everybody is doing well. What week we've had at the state legislature. I am so Zoom fatigued. I don't know about all of you, but man, oh man, you wouldn't think that staying home and conferencing on your computer could be so exhausting, but it is. But we're coming close to the end of the session, and so kind of gearing back up and making sure that we get the good legislation that we need to do done. Hard to believe that we've wrapped up April. Happy May Day to everybody. It is also International Workers' Day, so all those folks that work so hard for us, we sure appreciate it, and thank all the workers across the country, across the nation, across the world for the good work that they do to keep our economy running in spite of what's happening. But we're just less than 3 weeks away from our constitutionally required date to adjourn session on May 18th. And so here in the House, we're continuing our work to bridge the gaps and disparities that are really creating a lot of unique challenges for Minnesotans, and especially in Indian country during this COVID-19 pandemic. So in response to the pandemic, the House and the Senate DFLers are really focused on a couple priorities. We are focused on keeping Minnesota safe in their homes, and so we propose a $100 million investment in housing assistance. We are looking to provide economic security for our education professionals by ensuring full pay for our hourly school employees, which is so important. Both Robert and I work in schools, and we know the struggles that those employees have outside of the school year, let alone one that's cut short. So we're looking for some assistance for those hourly school employees. We're also working on providing economic security for the personal care assistants who care for our vulnerable Minnesotans through a very well-deserved and a long-overdue wage increase. We're trying to keep Minnesotans connected by ensuring that all of us have access to broadband when they need to go online, especially these days when we're expecting kids and families to be doing the distance learning. And not only do they not have the technology at home, but they might have sketchy or no access to the internet. And so we want to make sure that we are expanding broadband because we know that information is power and online is the way we go. And then we really want to make sure that we're helping families make ends meet by using the available federal funding that's coming to our state to boost payments for low-income working Minnesotans by investing in the Minnesota Family Investment Program. And that is called, that's MFIP, and we're trying to get an additional $500 to those families, especially those families that are struggling and already are receiving assistance from Minnesota, but at a time like this, that extra little bump could really make a difference. We're getting a lot of pushback from our Republican friends across the aisle, but I can tell you I will persevere on that case because 25 years ago I was an MFIP recipient. I received those funds from the state. I received food stamps. I received medical assistance. And those investments that Minnesota put in me and my family paid off. And look at me, I'm state representative, maybe even a senator. And so investing in our families and investing in our individuals in Minnesota is worth the investments. So what else are we doing? Wow, on Monday, the House Greater Minnesota Jobs and Economic Development Finance Division approved legislation to increase funding for that high-speed broadband internet across the state. And it will, the bill that was proposed will invest $10 million in the state's border-to-border broadband grant program to expand high-speed internet and broadband. And then it's going to invest $8 million in new distance learning broadband access grant program, and that will provide students with the equipment necessary to access learning materials on the internet and reimburse school districts for costs to provide that broadband access. And then finally, it will invest $2 million in the new telemedicine equipment reimbursement grant program, and they will that will allow reimbursement to the healthcare providers and the counties that purchase and install telemedicine equipment, especially at this time when we want them to provide COVID-19 related healthcare services. And what else? We talked about the hourly school employees. We want the schools to continue paying them. And also today in the House Ways and Means Committee, we heard legislation that allocates $100 million to the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency, the MHFA, and that is to assist thousands of Minnesota renters and homeowners with their monthly payment. Our Senate Republicans continue to insist that only one-third of the funding is sufficient and that the ability for landlords to evict their unemployed tenants is going to be okay. So we're kind of pushing back on all of that. Their Ways and Means also considered a 15% temporary rate increase for those personal care assistants, PCA. I don't know if you realize it, but the state legislature sets the salary for PCAs, and we know how those folks are working so hard to take care of our loved ones in nursing homes and homes with folks with disability. They're putting themselves on the front line. They're putting themselves in at risk. They're putting their families at risk. And for so long, we have not paid them that adequate rate. And now it looks like we're working on a 15% temporary rate increase. And I would hope that that stays permanent, personally. And then that $500 supplement payment for individuals enrolled in family Minnesota Family Investment, we'll continue to work on that. And so, of course, we know that our new normal looks very different than it did at this time last year. And the governor has what I think is a pretty good plan to reopen business. But we have to be thoughtful, we have to be reasonable, and we have to make sure that it's safe to move forward. And so this week, I'm sure you've all heard that the governor, Governor Walz, set the first step to reopen businesses here in Minnesota. And the first step would allow 80,000 to 100,000 workers back to work in offices and manufacturing. Some of the non-customer facing businesses get to go back to work. But the employees have the option to go back on a voluntary basis based on plans for their company to make sure that the workers' safety comes first. And so the businesses have to really put in place the safety first measures so that everybody is safe. And then retail businesses and other non-critical businesses can begin offering curbside pickup and delivery. And so we'll see how that goes. I know that Birch Bark Books has been doing that all along. I don't know if any of you have been over there, but you can call ahead and request a book, and they will ring you up over the phone and then plop your book into a bag and put it on their doorstep, and you can swing by and pick it up. So I've done that and got a few fixes over this quarantine time, and there'll be other businesses that are going to be offering those sort of services. So look around and see who you can support. Local small businesses for sure. And then, of course, the governor announced an extension of his stay-at-home order, asking all of us to continue to limit our movements outside of our homes until May 18th. And then he's really encouraging us to take that extra step and use a mask when you're going outside of your home and you're going into public spaces, and do what Minnesotans do best, you know, practice selfless ways to protect your neighbors and care for your communities, because at the end of the day, we are all in this together. And I can tell you that I put a request out into my community for masks and have received probably well over 300 masks that I've been able to donate. I took some to Little Earth. I dropped some off with Mr. Gozy over on Franklin Avenue. Took some to the fire station here in my community because they've been able to distribute them. So if you are one of those incredible seamstresses, or if you've just learned to practice neighborly love and sew up a few and hand them out, and let's get through this together, because Minnesota's a great place to live and breathe in, and we want to make sure that everybody comes out of this whole and healthy. So that is it for me today. I just want to wish you all a wonderful, wonderful weekend. It sounds and looks like it might just be a beautiful weekend to be outside. Please practice safely when you're outside. I know that a lot of parks and playgrounds are closed because you just can't keep kids off the playground equipment, right? But do your best. Take care of each other. Take care of yourselves. And I'll be back in touch next week. Wopala Tonka. Take care.
Pini Gigi for all you do. Mary Kunish Podine. Up next, Winona LaDuke. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States. And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Every week, we're so excited to be able to, and honored to talk to Winona Duke of Honor the Earth. Welcome to Native Roots Radio, Winona.
Almost
I mean, Middle Geese, you're good. How are you, Robert?
Really good, really good. Hanging in there, you know, times are tough, but the tough get going, right? And crisis is a Chinese word that they merge the two symbols, dangerous win and opportunity. So every crisis is an opportunity.
Right. I am totally looking at this as an opportunity. In the meantime, we all got to work together and support radio like yours, support the people that are like continuing to do the good work. And we all got to, you know, if we want, you know, the fact is that if you want something, you got to make it, you know, don't wait for someone to fix this for us. This is our chance to make it. And so support like our local radio. And, you know, I was looking up there and like, there's all this economic crisis in small business. I looked at Ontario just declared farmers markets essential. Mm. I was like, that's great. Yeah. You know, let's have this crisis as opportunity. So speaking of crisis, you know, I hate to be the one who always talks about the Enbridge crisis, but for crying out loud, we got like 8 tar sands pipelines in our state, no tar sands oil, immense risks, and this regulatory mess that has been created and, you know, continues with Enbridge trying to push ahead. And so, you know, on Friday afternoon, the Public Utilities Commission rubber stamped one more time, this time with Scherger's opposition or dissent, one commissioner voting against, but they rubber stamped the certificate of need and the route permit for Enbridge despite everything else. So, but you know, I want to note a couple things. They made the decision on February 3rd. I was in the room when they made the decision, and it is now almost May 3rd, so it took them 3 months to issue their statement and to figure out how to accommodate, you know, Matt Scherger's opposition in there or his dissenting view. So just to explain to people kind of where that is, it's, you know, such a convoluted process, and most of us don't know anything about regulatory process. And I have to say that I'm not sure that the Public Utilities Commission really understands the process. But,
exactly.
You know, so they issue this opinion. That doesn't mean Enbridge gets to go ahead right away. You know, Enbridge still has a number of obstacles, including the public, you know, that opposes this pipeline. But the tribes and the organizations that are opposing this pipeline on behalf of the people of Minnesota, we have till May 21st to issue a motion for reconsideration. That's what it's called. And that sets a stay. You know what a stay is, Robert? It's like they can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it stays the motion. And so May 21st is when that is due. And then the PUC's got to June 1st to respond, and then they got required to act by July 30th. You know, we assume the Public Utilities Commission having, you know, I don't want to say received $11 million from Enbridge, but Enbridge did spend $11 million lobbying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they'll probably continue to go ahead, which means back to court. And the courts have not done well with the pipelines.
Uh-huh.
You know, also the MPCA, Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, has to issue their denial or approval of the request for the permits to cross the 211 or so waterways in Minnesota. So Enbridge has got that ahead of them, and they have till November to issue that. And then the Army Corps has to issue their permits, which they issue after the after the MPCA issues. Just to, like, not to make it all crazy, but just to say, like 2 weeks ago, I think we talked about this,
mm-hmm.
the Keystone Pipeline had its permits all thrown out by the court, and those were Army Corps permits. Remember that?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I just want to say that there's, you know, and so it's not a for sure thing by any chance, but just totally perplexing to me that the PUC is moving ahead. And, you know, I mean, and they said, you know, I was looking at why they said to move ahead, and they had this interesting quote, you know, which was that what they said is that the commission continues to conclude that the consequences to society of granting the modified certificate of need are more favorable than the consequences of denial. The record demonstrates that there are real, immediate, and potential catastrophic risks associated with continuing to use the existing Line 3. You know, I got an easy solution for that, which is just close down Line 3 if it poses such catastrophic risks. And, you know, it's almost half closed down now. I mean, because of the crisis in the oil industry,
mm-hmm.
you know, not to cry for the oil industry, but, you know, minus $37 a barrel, that's kind of some oh my gosh, that's a disaster, isn't it?
Right, and they're really cut. First time since 1972, they're cutting down on production here in the United States.
Cutting down on production, and they're expecting a 1.7 million barrel a day decrease in oil production out of Canada by this summer. So, like, if my math is right, you know, I'm not that good at my math, but okay, that's way more than line three. That's like twice as much at line three at full capacity, you know, if Enbridge had all of their fantasies. And so why would the Public Utilities Commission deem that there is still a need for line three when the oil market has collapsed? When, you know, North Dakota fly-by-night operations are filing for bankruptcy and the tar sands are closing down. Why would there be a need? 20% decline in production. And so, like, they baffle me. You know, they baffle me. And, you know, I mean, just to be really clear about this, if you think COVID is an inconvenience to your economy, try climate change disaster.
Right.
This is kind of like a dress rehearsal for 10 years from now. If we don't stop producing so much fossil fuels and consuming so much fossil fuels, and it's like this perfect opportunity. Where, you know, right now, Robert, we are at this place where we are consuming at the level 20% decrease in production and consumption of fossil fuels that is required for the Paris Accord, for the agreements.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know if that's going to save our butts. You know, J.P. Morgan, one of the biggest financiers of the tar sands, they had an internal report that got leaked that said, we can't continue to burn fossil fuels at this rate or we will not survive as humans. Mm-hmm. So, you know, COVID's going to take a big toll on us. This is a human catastrophe. Climate change will bake us if we don't stop this stuff now. So perfect opportunity. Crisis is opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, so basically, I spend all my time fantasizing about what we need to do. And so, you know, rather than like wringing our hands and having endless Zoom meetings about when things are going to go back to normal, how about if we say, we don't want normal, we want better? I'm like, let's do that. Mm-hmm. You know, let's do better. And this is this opportunity for Waltz. Mm-hmm. You know, this is called the Green New Deal Golden Opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, where you just say, we're going to quit doing dumb stuff and we're going to move on. And, you know, there's lots of examples of that around the world. In fact, the European Union is recommending a whole Green New Deal. They're like, let's do it right now, right now. And so I'm like, Minnesota, come on, let's be the state with vision. So I got all kind of ideas. I bet you got a few too, but that's kind of what I'm starting to think about.
Well, that's get the thermal, everyone start thinking about it. I know Wendy and I have two cars and we haven't really put in 4 weeks left the parking lot with one a week maybe. And maybe we're going to go down to one car, you know, start thinking outside the box, you know.
Right. I mean, outside the boxes, don't use your car so much. Get on your darn bike because you're fat. Oh, I didn't say that. I'm not talking about you, Robert. But I'm just saying I see a lot more people biking and walking than back in the old days, and that's probably pretty good for your darn health.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, it just totally – I got a trike out here in the woods I might go pick up today. You know, I might move to a trike because I'm old. And I could like put stuff in the back, you know, or something. But
put a flag, you know, on American flag upside down on it too in the back.
Right. I got a water protector flag.
Just to say,
you can always get a water protector flag from Honor the Earth, you know, and sport that around town, or ride my horse. I've been riding my horse more than I've been my horses more, and preparing to, you know, move my horses into the garden. We're starting to chill with some of my horses, and you know, that's way more fun than riding around a car. But, you know, so the examples are clear. Like, you know, electric cars are the future.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you know, 65% efficient as compared to 16% efficient, mm-hmm. you know, of that combustion engine. So let's move to electric cars. Let's move to electric trains.
Right.
You know, I keep thinking about this whole idea of, you know, and that's the same thing. It's about 50% more efficient. You know, if you start moving the oil out of the transportation sector, wow, that'd be like liberating. You know, I can see trains that work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know?
We're like, going to, like, school buses, electric school buses here in the Twin Cities.
You're going to electric school buses in the cities?
Yep. That's coming up real soon. They're starting to push it right now, and that's exciting, you know, because how many school buses are running around here in the cities? A lot.
Right, and they're all dirty diesels.
Exactly.
I mean, not to say, but yeah, basically dirty diesels. And one day those could all be run on hemp oil, those dirty diesels.
That's right.
You know, I mean, you don't need fossil fuels. And then, so I want to issue like this challenge. I'm calling it like the ecological triathlon. You know, and there's going to be like the Iron Woman, we can't have it be iron. It has to be like the Green Woman or the Green Man, right?
Yep.
And, you know, I'm like, grow as much food as you can. How much food can you grow in your little garden plot in the city? How much food can you grow? Exactly. How much can you trade with your neighbors? Mm-hmm. You know, how much can we grow locally? You know, so it's not shipped with that huge carbon footprint from around the world. So, you know, that's like challenge number one. Get your food local. You know, quit eating so damn much burgers.
Exactly.
You know, not just, you know, eat good. I mean, we're up here spearing fish in the north and eating maple syrup. I don't want to tempt you to the great north, but, right. You know.
Like, send me some rice.
And yeah, I'm good. You know, I'm about to go out and wander out in the woods for some mushrooms.
Yeah.
But then, so eat local. And then the other thing is like, let's get this energy thing down. You know, I'm like, I live in this house and, you know, I think I keep telling, you know, I think everybody now knows, I feel like I live with like seven 15-year-olds or something. I got all these kids. They're like 11 to 15. They're like hanging out over at Winona's Survival School here, or, you know, Winona's Water Protector School. And I'm like, I want a challenge. I want someone to help me figure out how to charge a battery that they can run their games off at night. So they have to, like, bike. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, what's
definitely.
Home power, right?
That's right. That's
yeah.
right. So
that's going to be my next. Yeah, right?
Right, exactly. So are you guys doing anything special? Because it's Indian Month here in Minnesota, and one of the things I always say is it's always Indian Month for me.
It's
but
always Indian Month.
Well, are you guys doing anything special up there?
Well, we have these solar thermal panels, and we're going to be offering up some solar thermal panels. I don't want to call it the pandemic special, but there you go.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to be in the challenge, and be the ones that have solar thermal on your house. I'm going to probably be riding my horses.
Right.
You know, I heard Enbridge is unloading equipment in the north at a massive level. You know, I never seen a buildup like that. You know, we anticipated, but I think that they knew the PUC. PUC must have called them and say, hey, we're going to issue those permits on Friday. So they're looking like they're ready to roll out. And they're, like, intimidating. There was this photo we sent out last week or that Ginu Collective took of their essential staging. I mean, they are, like, plowing the north and bringing in equipment. So, you know, I might have to go, you know, ride my horse with my mask. Isn't that funny, Robert? Remember a couple years ago? Remember North Dakota banned face masks and they were going to make it illegal to wear a face mask? Do you remember that?
Oh, my God. North Dakota.
I
pray for Ruth Buffalo every day.
Oh, my God. We have to pray for Ruth Buffalo every day. That's right. But I was like, how's that working out for you now, North Dakota? Y'all look like a bunch of water protectors.
Yeah, exactly. That's hilarious.
Yeah, but I just feel like we're gonna stand up for our Mother Earth, and we're gonna plant a bunch of food, you know, and we're gonna file for the Indians and for Mother Earth. We're gonna file some legal, you know, challenges in the regulatory process to protect our mother. And I'm a great month. You know, I'm looking forward to my month of planting. And
yeah, and then don't forget Sundays. We're going to have Madonna on this week, and we're going to make that happen. And I know you've known her for many years, and we're excited to do the symposium on Sunday.
Right, I'm super excited. I'll be on for a little bit, but mm-hmm. I have to say, Madonna Thunderhawk was like my second boss. My first boss was John Redhouse in the Southwest. At Navajo, but I went to work in South Dakota fighting uranium mining. I worked for Madonna Thunderhawk. I was like 18 years old. I was terrified of her. I'm still terrified of her, but I love her.
Right.
But honored to be, you know, I'm so glad that she's, you know, her film Warrior Woman is out there, and that mm-hmm. she's going to be on talking about her continued work for human rights. She's like a longtime champion of human rights, and I and her daughter Marcella Gilbert, you know?
Yeah.
So it's all good, but, you know, keep your heads up.
Yeah.
And, like, think about that challenge. What do you want the future to look like? Because everybody knows that that nothing is going to go back to normal. So what should normal be?
That's
you know,
right.
like, what if we didn't have a bunch of plastics?
Mm-hmm.
What if we, you know, what if everything wasn't throwaway, right?
Right, exactly. Well, Winona, I really appreciate you spending time with us and giving us input of what's happening up there, because we don't know. We're all like worried about what's happening here, and it's really eye opening what information you bring to us.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, as always, and you know, just know that up north we're all in this together, and let's make something beautiful and fight off some dumb ideas this last round. And Governor Walsh, you gotta, it's your opportunity to not unload 4,300 dangerous people in the North Country in these little villages and little counties with no COVID. Don't do it.
Instead,
let's make a good future.
Peeny Gigi, thank you so much, Winona LaDuke, for all
you
do. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Robert.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next, Ruth Buffalo of North Dakota.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. We are always, 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 always so happy to have House Representative Ruth Buffalo from North Dakota, House Representative from District 27 on. And thank you so much, Peeny Gigi, for being on and talking to our people. I know we have a lot of people listening all over Turtle Island, especially, you know, this show comes out of Minnesota, but the five-state area, North, South, Iowa, and Wisconsin, and Minnesota really listen to this show. So thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So I'd like to know, is there any update with North Dakota? Are we open? Are we closed? What's happening there as of Friday night?
Well, the governor, he holds daily press conferences. And so today he announced that the school will continue doing remote or distance learning for the rest of the school year. And, yep, businesses have the go-ahead to now start, I think they're calling it North Dakota Smart Restart, as their, kind of like their campaign or initiative, for getting businesses or getting the economy going is how they're phrasing it. So, the main shopping center will be opening, I believe, next week.
Wow.
May 6th, I think. Yeah. It still seems really early. And so, with today also being International Worker Day, May 1st, you know, May Day, there were a number of employees that also quit today. So that's at a local restaurant and pub.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of interesting to learn about, too, that employers are asking employees to come back and work. And employees had, you know, expressed their concern of social distancing if they were to open, you know, where people come in and things. So that's kind of a developing story that I learned of today. But
that's
also. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's very stressful, but I don't have to tell anybody that. They can feel it from your voice.
Yeah. And so we're also, you know, still continuing to advocate for working families and individuals, people, you know, to let us know or go through the existing structures that are in place, like the High Plains Fair Housing Center, and then like the FM Coalition of Homelessness are eliminating homelessness here in the Fargo-Moorhead area. But so, yeah, we're trying to help get people connected to different community resources so that they are not evicted, and trying to help there. There was a solidarity fund that was started also to help people in need during these times.
You know, Ruth, there's a couple of things I want to talk to you about in your segment, and one of them is you haven't been able to see your family. Can you tell everyone where you're from, and you haven't seen your mother, and they're planting now, and, you know, how hard that is, but how have you been staying in touch, and how have you been staying strong with that?
Sure. So, you know, I'm serving District 27 here in South Fargo with my family, and there's six of us here within our household, but I'm originally from Mandaree, and that's on the western side of the state. So, yeah, we're going on week seven, I believe, with not seeing my mom and my sisters and family in person, but we do a lot of videos, you know, like the Marco Polo app or the Google Duo. So, yeah, we're staying in touch. Yesterday was one of my sister's birthdays, so we got to, you know, see pictures of her birthday cake and the family. But yeah, it's been hard. It's just an adjustment, but we know it's the best thing to stay here, stay put, because we don't want to, you know, run the risk of, you know, bringing something from Fargo. Fargo's a hot spot, you know, so we've been just staying home here in Fargo also. But yeah, we miss our family on the western side of the state, but we know that we'll, you know, get together and be celebrating when this is better. So looking forward to that too.
Right. And well, you're a good example, and I appreciate you telling our audience about that, because it can't be easy, because I'm sure you're used to going and traveling and celebrating your sister's birthday. One of the things I'd like to talk about, we kind of ended with this a little bit last week. We were talking a little bit about the jails and prisons. Do you have any updates or anything you want to share with our audience?
Well, there's different coalitions being formed, and some have, you know, did a press release and kind of getting some traction there, but not enough to really drive the issue home of what many of our Native American relatives are experiencing right now. There's so many people reaching out saying how concerned they are for their loved ones or their relatives who are currently incarcerated. So we're just trying to help connect people and hopefully, you know, if it works out in some of the cases where, you know, they can be released from prison and maybe perhaps to home confinement, still, if that happens, I would think public health measures would be followed to where individuals could do home confinement and also be quarantined as well, you know. So,
yeah, and do you know
when... There.
Yeah, definitely. Do you know of any studies? Because I know we have in Minnesota, we have this virus is in the prisons now. And, you know, whether it's guards or people have brought this in to them, or also too, I talked to the Hennepin County Sheriff a couple days ago, and he was saying that people that they incarcerate overnight or in short term have brought it into the jails and spread it around. So we have issues where people are confined and are getting this without trying to, I guess, is the word I can only come up with.
Right. And so I called our state prison yesterday and just asked questions, asked if I could, you know, gain access to the facility and go for a tour and, you know, just a general tour. And so they said I could, but I would need to go through the process. So I, you know, requested a tour and haven't heard back yet. I thought I was going to hear back today, but we also shared, you know, different safety precautions that they're practicing. You know, they're keeping the same group of people together and they're trying, you know, doing social distancing to the best of my knowledge or how I understood with the information they shared with me, but they also shared that they're using bleach now to clean areas down, and that they never had bleach before. They weren't allowed to use bleach to clean with. So
weird.
And that each inmate does have the option of wearing a mask. So, so that's at the state level, but state and federal, I've received a lot of constituent emails, phone calls, letters, with concern for their relatives and loved ones that are incarcerated in the state prisons and in the federal prisons. And, you know, with the unfortunate passing of the young Native American mother this past week, you know, that's pretty, it's so tragic, you know, and it could have been prevented. And so that's what really kind of sends a fire in our bellies once again, you know, to help fight for justice. Because if we can prevent lives from being lost, you know, why aren't we doing that?
Exactly. So just to end the show a little bit here, so you're keeping busy. I see you're working out with your family online. Are you still doing the comedy show and the stare downs that you were talking about?
Yeah, no, we didn't do the laughing exercise this week, but we did the exercising with my kids now. Like, the older kids are jumping in on these workouts. So at one point, well, probably a couple of nights this past week, we were all crowded here in the front room, bumping into each other and trying to follow along with the workout. But yeah, my friend who leads the workouts, her name is Yosh, and she is a trainer and works at Haskell Indian Nations University. So she's still providing outreach to students and from where she's from in New Mexico, Arizona area too. So it's a nice good medicine to share with each other in a good workout and laugh and things. Yeah. So yeah.
That is a good medicine. I just want to end this with we're on the symposium, the Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake, the Native symposium across the country, and you're one of the prime guests there. And you brought an unbelievable guest with us this last week, the doctor from Navajo Nation.
Yeah, yep. She's her and I used to play on the same basketball team years ago. And so, yeah, she's, you know, on the front lines and helping serve and protect her hometown community. So she's seeing a lot. And, yeah, her leadership is so needed right now during these times. And so, yeah, it's kind of bittersweet to get reconnected to her, but, you know, and still worrying about, you know,
right,
a dear friend and former teammate, and hope that she stays safe and continues to do the work she's doing and helping her community.
I know this is a worn out term, but she's a true warrior, and her information was so important and so valid. And I want to thank both of you, especially you, for bringing her on the We're Still Here symposium. That was just awesome.
Cool. Yeah, no problem. So good show, and really appreciate the work that you're doing and helping to amplify our voices on certain topics and issues that might not even be receiving coverage in our own backyard.
Yeah, well, and thank you for being on, because as I say, everybody that compliments me on my show is about the guests, and I just happen to have the best guests on, and you're one of them, and I really appreciate you.
Cool. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Right on. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that was House Representative Ruth Buffalo of North Dakota. We'll be right back after this short break.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey,
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're going to mix it up a little bit here, and we're going to have Wendy. Wendy is going to read this this heavy, very cool essay poem written by John Anderson and his daughter. Let's take a listen.
Hello, everyone. My name is Hanajihihani, which means cares for them, and I was given that name by my Daga Curtis. So, as always, thank you, Curtis, for the beautiful name. Today I'm going to be reading, it's kind of a little story, or maybe you might even think of it as a poem, and it was written by Jessamine, and I hope I'm saying that all right, and J. Arthur Anderson. And the title is Little COVID, the Virulent Protector of the Earth. And it goes like this. This is a tale of the remarkable little COVID who gained the horrific title, the virulent protector of the earth. One day, it seems like yesterday, the mother of all gathered together the land, mountains, waters, and sky, and all that dwell, walk, swim, and fly. Although happy to be in each other's company, they were mostly discouraged and beleaguered. I am tired and have been wasted and foul, said Mother of All. The others also spoke. My waters can no longer provide a home to turtles, whales, and fish, said the rivers and oceans. My winds no longer provide sweet breezes, but instead angry storms, said the sky. My bones have been broken and the oil forced out, said the prairie. The flowers have been poisoned and multitudes have perished, said the bees and butterflies. The white bear said, I have no ice. I have been chopped and burned, said the forest. An otter spoke up. Mankind has spread and populated the earth. All have suffered. Many have been killed. Some of nature's family have been eliminated and no longer exist. Humans have even done this to their own, subjugating, oppressing, enslaving, wearing upon their kind. Their epidemic has spread throughout all their societies and lands and has begun to destroy nature itself. Our human relatives live in ways that are harming us all, said Mother of All. We are overwhelmed and need respite and healing. All were saddened as they took stock of this enormous problem. Just as things seemed hopeless, the tiniest of voices was heard. Let me help. Where are you? Are you invisible? I can barely hear your voice, was heard from the crowd. I am COVID, a virus, beyond small, so you probably can't see me, but please let me be your champion. Many of those gathered seemed confused and uncertain about what they were hearing. But what can you do? Said the mountain. COVID responded, unlike you, who is among the grandest and rooted in the earth, I can readily cross the globe in just days. The little voice continued, my size makes me invisible and is my weapon. I can spread throughout all humanity, disrupting their activities. Within three full phases of the moon, I could force them into their homes and their travels, shut down their businesses and factories. I can make them hide their faces, said COVID. The air and the waters will begin to clear. Our animal relatives will be able to wander without fear. The earth will heal. To do all that you describe, you will have to travel to all places. How can this happen? Asked the turtle. Little COVID said, I will go to the human world and travel across and between them. I will reside within them. At first, I will seek the assistance of snakes, frogs, bats, pigs, and pagalons, riding on them and within them. Then begin embedding myself within people as they travel throughout the world on ships and airplanes. I will travel faster than the winds. I will be invisible and potent and go everywhere. I will be many. Blink, and my number will equal the condors that fly over the canyons. Blink again, I will exceed the number of buffalo that roam. Blink a third time, there will be more of me than all of humanity. Blink a fourth time, I will be more than all that crawl, walk, swim, or fly. Blink a fifth time, I will be as plentiful as all the droplets in the rivers, lakes, and oceans. Even more, I will use their own nature against them. They are distracted and will not see me. When they see me, they will deny I exist. When they acknowledge me, they will not give due credence to my speed and strength. When they fully realize the challenge, they will lack resolve. When they attack me with resolve, it will be disorganized. Once organized, it will be short-lived. They will embrace ignorance and tell lies. They will protest the unfairness, will pray to the God in the sky while denying the mother of all and the protection she offers. They will refuse care to those who can't pay and fail to protect their elders and the vulnerable. Some will use this moment as a way to gather more power and possessions, taking an even larger proportion from the poor and dispossessed. The mother of all then spoke, "I am sad at what has befallen nature, which has been subject to an endless and malevolent pandemic at the hands of humanity. I regret what is about to happen to our human brothers and sisters if they fail to respect COVID, who only operates within laws of nature. They will increase their misery. Among the people, however, there are those who have known these truths. They have always been our friend, and their wisdom should be embraced. The children are without blame. Humanity should look to them for leaders. When heard, they will set humankind on the right path with elevated purpose. With all of my being, I hope that people can find their way and protect themselves by joining us, existing in balance and honoring all that lives. I look forward to the day that all our relatives can dwell together in harmony. Now it is time to feast, and then we set COVID on its way. I name him the virulent protector of the earth. Soon later, with all of nature cheering, little COVID begins his journey riding in the cheek of Brother Frog." The end.
Peeny Geegee Wendy, for all you do. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're going to be back with Hour 2.
Because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Well, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Hour 2. You know, we're always really, there's just so much information and things going around Turtle Island, and especially here in Minnesota. We're always honored to have Nancy Bolio of Bemidji 350 on. Welcome, Nancy.
Well, thanks for having me again, Robert. I appreciate being a speaker every Saturday because I think knowledge is power, so this is always a good space to show up. And today I have a few reminders, and the first one is get out the Native vote. So I am the Northern organizer for Bemidji 350, and we were fortunate enough to get a grant from Minnesota Voice to help us design a campaign here in Northern Minnesota to encourage our people to get out and vote, because we're in trying times now and our votes really matter. And the Minnesota 350 is got awesome continued support, and they're also willing to do phone banking for us and stuff. So we feel really honored that we got great allies that are willing to help our people show up and get us through those barriers of voting, especially during COVID-19. So we're developing a campaign that will keep everybody safe, and we're also working at hopefully building a space where we can build power. What do we do after we vote? We just don't want to show up and vote and go away, because when we do that, we see our politicians and our elected leaders doing what's on their agenda, and it doesn't work for the people, and we've seen that in the past. So we're really, really working hard to find a way where we can further engage after the vote so we can build relationships and build power, because when we shift power, we build power, and we have to keep reminding ourselves that we are the power. So I want to encourage people to keep checking with our Facebook page. It's Get Out the Native Vote. This week we'll be putting out our introductions of our staff people leading that work, and then we're also going to post up our what does this look like and what is our purpose. And so we're creating fun spaces. I'm not going to give up too much because we know we have to stay creative, because voting, and it's kind of boring, but once you get the gist of it, you're like, wow, this is a powerful place to be. I want to be here, and I want to speak for my people and for our tribe and for all of our Native people in Turtle Island, you know, because it's important we all get out and vote, not just here in Minnesota. So, again, I encourage people to follow us on Facebook, Get Out the Native Vote, and we'll be providing links to our new voters, and if they have any problems, they can always, you know, give us a call, and we're going to help them through that process. So we're here to help people show up to vote and how to show up afterwards, because some of us have already showed up in those, you know, hard conversations with political figures and whatnot. So we need support. We want people to show up and build power, because, again, when we build power, we shift that power. So that's what we're working for.
Yeah, and tell everybody why it's important to vote and what's involved, just like with the census and all that.
Right, and you bring me right to my next point. I'm also going to remind people to report to their family household size to the census, because when we don't report the number of Natives in here in Turtle Island, we lose out on funding for programs, and we know that we live in a lot of disparity, and these programs are very fundamental to our success, and these are not handouts, they're building bridges. So like myself, I've accessed, you know, college funds, and I went to school, and it furthered me, and this is how I show up in places like today and the work I do now, because education does matter, and our food programs and all kinds of programs that we count on to build ourselves up in a good way. And then we also have state representation. And if we don't have an accurate count on the population, we will have less representation and then less votes. And that means our values and everything that is important to us, there's no one at that House of Representatives to vote for us to say, this is what matters to us. So if we don't show up in the census, in the voting process, we are totally left in the dark.
That's right.
As we've seen in the past. And right. We don't want that no more.
Right. And then also, too, I know there's a lot of things going on, pipelines and things that are going on up New York, up north. And can you fill us in what the process has been just lately in this last week?
Well, in this last week, we had a TEC, MCT, Minnesota Chippewa Tribe, meeting scheduled for April 30th and May 1st. The TEC is the chairman, the chairmans, and the secretary treasurers of the six northern tribes here in Minnesota, excluding Red Lake. They have a quarterly meeting. And in these quarterly meetings, they're public meetings, and we bring up issues like Line 3 and our MCT land transfer. And just recently, in the last couple meetings, we were starting to build power. We were getting people to show up because we had issues that were being ignored, and we felt that, you know, a handful of us weren't getting the message across and we weren't treated so well. So we organized ourselves with the help of Minnesota 350 and Sierra Club to get our people to these meetings. So these organizations provided gas money and hotel stays, so our handicapped and our disabled people and people that were limited with limited budgets could make it. Because if you're in White Earth and there's a meeting in Grand Portage, most people can't afford the gas money to even go to town, let alone drive all the way to Grand Portage from White Earth, stay in a hotel room for the night because it's a two-day meeting, and then come all the way back. We're talking at least a $250 ticket to go to a meeting. So we have carpool people and with the help of the gas and financial support for lodging and stuff from our non-Native allies, we made it possible for our people to show up. So we were building power because, again, remember, when you build power, you shift it. Mm-hmm. So I think in a way they kind of somewhat maybe felt threatened by that because the people aren't in the dark anymore. There's people like myself and people that work with me that go out and we talk about the truth and we demand justice in a good way. And so we've always showed up in a positive way. We don't go, you know, be loud and demand things because we feel that healthy relationships that what makes us go towards progress. And we want to make sure that we're still being heard. And if we showed up in a rowdy kind of way, we've seen what they've done in the past. They've outcasted us, said we're trouble, stay away, and get the cops to make us leave. So our approach is so much different. And I think just having like 10, you know, upset people showing up, and I understand their frustration. I get it. I've known people from the past that, you know, walk the very same shoes that I'm in right now. And so when we first started going, we got gaveled. We were told to sit down. And we knew that we couldn't give up because if we gave up, our people would lose again. So we just kept working on building a relationship and finding a better approach between ourselves, the people, and the TEC. And once we felt comfortable in that space, we decided to ask more people to come in because we felt we created a good space for our people to come in. Because if people would have came in early and been gaveled with us and told to sit down, they might have not came back. They might have felt intimidated by that. And we stood there and said, no, you can't treat us like that. We're not going to allow you to treat us like that. So, again, back to this meeting this last week, we were building that power. And they had a meeting yesterday, and we know COVID-19, there's not in-person meetings. And if you look at the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe website, they have the meeting posted May 30th, April 1st at Black Bear Casino. Now, we know with COVID-19, there aren't any in-person meetings going on. They failed to update that webpage to say this public meeting has been converted to a Zoom meeting, and here's the link, and here's the access code for the public. That didn't happen. So there was numerous people yesterday, including myself, that text people that were on TEC. I myself was texting Gary Frazier from Minnesota Chippewa Tribe. He's the director. He's been it for 30 years. He's kind of old and not very open to listening to our concerns at this point in history. But he even refused to give me the number. So, you know, that's a failure to post a public meeting and give the public information for the people to show up in that space. So they violated our constitutional rights, and we're going to have to challenge that under the Hudson versus Zinke. And basically what they need, we're running under right now an unconstitutional constitution. You need 30% of the people to initiate a referendum vote, and then you need 60% approval in the referendum vote to change the constitution. Well, they got rid of the corporate charter and revised the constitution without the people's knowledge, input, vote. And they violated our constitutional rights to be informed and the referendum vote. And that would be Articles 13 and 14 of the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. I'm pretty sure I got those right. And then, so the Administrative Procedures Act of 1946 also sets guidelines. And these guys think they can just show up and do business as they see fit. And, you know, we see the people rising, and that's threatening us right now. So today we're going to meet without the people, and we're going to not give them the Zoom link. So prior to yesterday, we knew that we need a lawyer because our current lawyer, Phil Brodeen, who is a tribal lawyer, should be representing the tribe, not five elected officials that are using sovereignty as a shield to abuse their own people. And we know this for a fact because we just filed some petitions just recently in the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe Land Transfer. And the response we got back from the lawyer, Phil Brodeen, was that our elected officials are, the entity itself is sovereign, and the people cannot challenge that. But just recently, at the last meeting before COVID-19, our last in-person meeting, we were challenging their sovereignty right on the floor, on the microphone. And we told them then and there, we define sovereignty and who it belonged to. It belongs to the people, not a government entity under the United States, because when they're in that capacity, they're not a tribal group. They're a government group. So they don't have sovereignty as an entity. We have it as individual, as people. So once they step out of their role as TEC and they're in their own business, they have sovereignty. But once they're in that capacity, they cannot use it as a shield to oppress their people like they are. So now we need a lawyer because our lawyer's not working for us. And so we continue to be underrepresented, and our words continue to fall on deaf ears, not just in the white man's world, but in Indian country here. Mm. We have a huge failure to consult with the people and get their consent, and that's what we do. That's a lot of our work with Bemidji 350 is dealing with our tribal government, because when we first started with Line 3, we went in Line 3, no Line 3, and then we realized it was more than Line 3. There was mining going on, the MCT land transfer itself. They were trying to take the land from the people that we hold together as stakeholders. It's our land. They were trying to take that from us so they can work on future development, meaning housing, pipelines, and mining. And we're like, no, you got to protect that. That's sacred. You can't take that from us. There's enough development. We're trying to stop the development that we have right now. But these are people in business suits. They have been persuaded and bought out by corporate powers that come to our reservations. So when Enbridge comes here, they don't come out and do a survey of the people. We know they denied that during the process with the PUC. They didn't do a cultural environmental impact study. Instead, they went to 5 elected officials and knew they only needed 3 to approve that pipeline or their request they were asking. So if they persuade 3 out of 5, they got their approval. Easy beans. And once they get that done, that's the easy part. Then they start applying for their permits and all these other things on the state side. And so here in Indian country, we know our elected officials, and I don't call them leaders because leaders wouldn't do this to us. Our elected officials basically are selling us out and just pulling the rug out from underneath our feet when we try to speak.
Wow.
And we need a lawyer. So we're going to fundraise, and we're going to apply for grants, and we're going to keep showing up and keep showing up, and we're going to figure our way around how we got left out yesterday. That was very unconstitutional. And I want every Native to know in Minnesota that these elected officials are not leading us, and that we need to show up, and not just the presidential elections. We need to show up in our own elections. We need to run for office as good people and say, hey, you know what? We can't do this no more.
Yeah,
so I encourage people to be a part of everything that's going on now, even though if it sounds chamook, oh, I don't vote because that's for chamooks. No, it's not. We're a part of this population. We're a part of the money, and we need to get what's ours.
Exactly. Well, thank you, you know, so much for what you do up there, Nancy Bolio of Bemidji 350. I really appreciate it, and I want to wish you and all the warriors up there a happy Indian Month, and really keep us abreast what's happening here in Indian Country and Turtle Island.
All right. Well, I appreciate being here again, and I thank the listeners for just taking time to listen to us today, and just remind people that knowledge is power, and stay tuned in to everything that's out there, especially with the great shows you got going, Robert. And they can also help us out at Minnesota 350 or reach out to us on some of our Facebook pages. But we're welcome to have warriors stand with us, and we appreciate the space that you give us too. So have a good day, and happy Native Month.
It's always Native Month, right?
Right, right. Hey. Like Earth Day is every day, guys. Pick it up.
Peeny Gigi, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Hey, Cudahy to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pinigi, and thank you for your support.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. Meg Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember Mag Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this ad to receive 1 hour free service.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads.
Local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options.
Beer and wine.
Community performance room.
Great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We're always really honored and happy to have Robert Lilligren from MUD on our show today. And there's even more to talk about. We're going to talk a little bit about COVID. But that's first, why don't we talk about Indian Month and what exciting things are happening in social distancing, basically. Welcome, Robert.
Yeah, bonjour, Robert, and Miigwech for having me on, and Miigwech for everything you're doing to keep Indian Month celebration online this year. Yeah, and as you know, there's a lot going on. The Facebook page, Minnesota American Indian Month, American Indian Month Minnesota 2020 has become kind of that central organizing point for celebrations. And got a kickoff yesterday, got off to a great start with a prayer, a song, greetings from the Lieutenant Governor, from the Mayor of Minneapolis. So I'd really urge folks to look to the Facebook page, American Indian Month Minnesota 2020, to see what's going on.
Yeah, there is a lot going on, and I'm surprised and happy on how much things are happening, and I'm sure people are. You know, you have that website, Social Distance Powwow, that's got 180,000 mm-hmm. people, and I think, you know, we're going to get a lot of people because they're excited. They miss powwows. They miss being with people, going to the coffee shops and seeing their native friends.
Right, and since this is kind of Facebook-focused right now, our folks know how to use Facebook.
Yeah.
So people can participate how they want to. You know, it's still a celebration. This is the 51st year of American Indian Month in Minnesota, and that's important. You know, it started back in 1969. It was a push, an effort to educate people about American Indians here in Minnesota, to maybe change the way things were taught in schools, if they were taught at all. It was actually American Indian Week back in 1969.
Right.
So now we have a month, and let's use it. Let's celebrate.
And there is a lot to celebrate. I mean, I'm so proud of our young people, and you know, we lost a generation or two generations, like your father's era, and older than that with the schools, and so I think we're slowly swinging back and speaking up, and I'm excited to see the future because I think there's a lot of good things happening.
I agree, and I'm with you. We've talked about this before, about young people, you know, and the generations that have grown up with a stronger sense of who they are, their history, their languages, their cultures, their ceremonies. It's a different thing today, and when we have America, the 51st American Indian Month in Minnesota, the theme is We Are Still Here, Honoring Life. And so let's honor these young people. Let's honor these elders that got us here, that are the reason we're still here.
Right.
So there, yeah. And I know you have been really, really core in planning and producing what's going on online on the Facebook page, and everyone can join in. It's pretty exciting.
Right, and we're going to give out some gifts through Hennepin County Franklin Avenue Library. They have gift cards, and we're thinking about doing some trivia once a week, and then pulling it out of the hat to people that won, and just get the information. I mean, a lot of people 30 and younger don't know anything different than what's happening right now, but you and I, and again, your father and my uncles know a totally different story.
Right, right. That history is so important in honoring the people that got us here. And then, as you know, here in the American Indian Cultural Corridor, the member organizations of the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, or MUD, usually hold open houses where they feast to the community and feature the work of their organizations. And, of course, that can happen this month. And so the organizations are figuring out how to transfer that into social distancing and online platforms. So I think you'll see things like online bingo, maybe online karaoke, the Native American Community Clinic, maybe even a online TikTok contest.
Yeah, I'm down.
Do what you're, right. I know. I think everyone would be. The ways to do what you're talking about. Honor the past, look to the future, steer our own narrative through Indian Month here.
Right, exactly. So let's talk a little bit about the COVID. Let's get dark for a minute here. I know it's something we need to talk about. We need to talk about masks. We need to talk about our elders and protecting them. What's your take this week? Because everything changes so daily.
It changes so quickly. And one of the pieces of work that I've had the privilege and honor to be involved in is in helping craft the messages that are coming from some of the government agencies into ways that folks from our community will relate to, will embrace. You know, some of the messaging coming out of, say, the Department of Health can be very stark and add to the stress of social isolation, staying at home, add to maybe the feelings of inadequacy in some of our families. That, you know, for example, if you're told to isolate someone in your home, if they have symptoms and you have lots of people living in a very small space, that's almost impossible.
Yeah.
And so how do we create messages that are both indigenized and useful to our community?
Exactly. And I know it's funny, Winona LaDuke earlier in the show asked me if I had any masks, and I said, yeah, I got a couple that are really, when it first came out, there was a teacher in St. Paul who was making masks and asking for donations so she could give money to the community and people that need it, and I thought, that's really cool. And plus, I got a cool mask, a Native, you know, designed mask, you know, with the print on there, so I'm like, you know, I'm bougie.
You are bougie. I saw a picture on Facebook. It is a very bougie mask, but it's cool. And this mask thing, I think, is amazing. In my day job at Native American Community Development Institute, we operate All My Relations Arts Gallery, and our gallery director, Angela Two Stars, put out a call for Native artists. So one of the things we're trying to retool and get as much money into artists' pockets, Native entrepreneurs' pockets. And so we're paying Native artists to create 400 masks. And then as part of that, they'll create, these 12 artists will create an art piece based on a mask or pandemic that we can show in the gallery later. But then we'll donate those 400 masks to Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors MUD organizations that need them.
Yeah, and I thought I saw somewhere on Facebook that you guys were doing food out there, too, to people. Is that right in the parking lot? Or?
That, we will during our Four Sisters Farmers Market, which has a delayed start. We'll probably ramp it up in mid-July with social distancing in place. But also working with Dream of Wild Health, the organic farm in Hugo, who has a presence on the American Indian Culture Corridor, to get food into households that might have food insecurity. And so we may have sort of a CSA kind of free CSA contributions and things. So we're just setting that up now.
That's exciting.
Dream of Wild Health and other native and urban farmers are going forward with their planting. And so we expect there to be plenty of produce available. So we'll be part of getting that out as well. But there are some like really incredible stories. For example, at the Minneapolis American Indian Center, we're gathering cafe. Their staff has continued to work to feed the elders in the community. And then they set up delivery and things. I mean, it's because we have such a tight community here, you know, it's really rewarding to see folks step up and figure out how their gifts can help, what they can contribute. It's, you know,
yeah.
There's always something positive in the middle, even of a crisis like this.
Yeah, exactly. I think we're going to end it with that because for me, I'm busier than I ever have been, you know, when I'm working.
Me too.
And I think that is the savior for all of us, keeping busy and, so we're not watching the news and watching, people make a fool of themselves and that we're just really local and helping our local people.
Hear, hear. And that's where being Indigenous, I think, helps. You know, this is our tradition, and we're living those traditions and reintroducing that kind of care for the whole community. Take care of ourselves, take care of our families, take care of our community.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Robert. I know you're really busy, and you have a lot of stuff coming from UPS in the mail to keep you busy.
So, right. Too much.
So hopefully
stuff.
You'll be putting on a cooking
right.
show here, too.
Right.
But thank you so much for being on and your support of Native Roots Radio and the shout outs. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah. Miigwech for all you're doing. Thanks for having me on.
Right on. You're listening to Native Roots. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Hey, Cudahy to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pinigi, and thank you for your support.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today's going to be mostly sunny with a high near 75. While tonight's clear with a low around 47, tomorrow's sunny, the high near 66. Monday, chance of storms, the high near 59. And Tuesday, mostly cloudy with a high of 61. With the state closing bars and restaurants for dining in, it's especially important that you support our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants. Restaurants offering takeout include Nightingale, Great Wall, Cafe Latte, Park Tavern, Hazel's Northeast, and more at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are Alusa Nation.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're going to jump into this. Emma and I did a drawing, and we want to run the little teeny interview I had with her and also the drawing.
Ho-Chunk Raja, Wakunja Hade, Inde Yenga. I'm here. This is Native Roots Radio, and it's we're doing a drawing here on Native Roots Radio, and here with Emma Needham, and Emma does essays on Native Roots Radio, and she also came up with this really, really great idea to do this. And I'm going to just hit start a watch party here and get some people on here, but I'll start that over again once I get a few people on here. I look red, Emma, and you look great. So here we go. We got one person on, and I think it's me. So I'll add a few people on here, see if they want to come on. Well, we'll do this right now, and then we can share this also. So, again, this is Native Roots Radio, and I'm here with Emma Needham. And we're doing a couple of things, and Emma and SA have been really huge in this supporting Native Roots Radio Network and all we do. And welcome, Emma.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So we have three shows going through in Native Roots Radio Network. We have the original show, Native Roots Radio, which you're on, and we also have Pilots Progressive Party, and we just started doing a symposium on Sundays, a live symposium from people from all over the country, Native Americans from all over the country, that are stopping in and speaking their truth during these troubled times. And you've been on a few times, and you're also on Native Roots Radio. And what brings us here to the show tonight?
So we are doing a fundraiser for Native Roots Radio. We lost some of our sponsors due to this COVID-19 pandemic. So we're asking for support from our listeners, and we are trying to get people to get involved just like me and SA and anybody else who is on our show, and it takes an active take in this. So I had the idea that we should maybe do a drawing and give away a t-shirt for people who've come to like our page this week. So we've gathered up, I think, I don't know, just shy of 100 new likes this week. People have and liked it. So I have got this fancy hat here with all the names in it. I'll be buying a name here shortly.
Cool. So before we get to that, I'd really like to talk about what you do and what you've been doing, and how did you get on Native Roots Radio, and a little bit about yourself. Could you tell us, how did you get on Native Roots Radio?
So I kind of invited myself to Native Roots Radio, for a lack of a better word. I had seen Native Roots Radio on Facebook, and I reached out directly to you on Messenger, and I said, hey, I'd like to help. You know, this is important. And I kind of thought you'd maybe, like, you know, let me edit some videos, or, you know, maybe boost the Facebook or something. And you were like, sure, send me a piece. Send me about 8 minutes and record yourself. And I panicked for a minute. I'm like, I don't even know how to do this. And you were like, just do it and send it to me. And for most Saturdays now, for the last several months, I've been coming up with a new piece. And a lot of it's my own opinion. Sometimes it's my poetry. Sometimes it's things I'm dealing with in my life, or things that I have dealt with in my life. But it provides an outlet for me and a really great place for me to share. And I hope that other people really enjoy listening to it.
Yeah, I know we do. And it's pretty amazing too. The first couple we listened to, it just had, I was going to put music to it, and I was going to do all these fancy things, and I just went, wow, this is really powerful, just dry like this. And so all I do is introduce you and then thank you at the end. But it's very powerful the way you do it. You get in a quiet place and speak your truth, and it's needed during the week. And I get a lot of gotten a lot of compliments about it over, especially in the beginning too. So it was like, oh wow, we're on the right track here with Emma. And so we really enjoy your essays, and that's basically what they are. And I think in a year or so, you'll be able to put them into a nice book too, because I think they're very powerful. They're your story.
They are. They're my story and a little bit of the people around me's story. And I think that all of our stories as people also belong to all of each other. You know, we are all related. My story is your story is my story, and so on and so forth. I don't think there's ever been a story that I've read or I've heard, for the most part, that I couldn't at least take something away to relate from. And that's what's important about stories.
There was a theme there for a while, which was pretty exciting for me, was the theme of enrollment and blood quantum. You know, the theme with, you had two different birth dates, do you want to tell a little bit about that? That was really interesting. And now you're at the finish line of enrollment, and now all the offices are closed.
Yeah. So when I was born, my Social Security number was filed under the correct date that I was born, July 16th. But the paperwork that was filled out and created and sent to the county office where I live said the 17th for some reason. And we never knew about this error until I had applied for my driver's license when I was 16 years old. And I've spent the better half of between the ages of 16 and I'll be 30, the one this year, I'll be 31, getting this fixed. And it just got fixed in March. And once mine was fixed, I then had to go through and fix my daughter's. And this involved me going to places and getting a lot of documents, not to mention all the years of me having to correct everything and explain to every place that I banked at, had an account with, every job that I had, to verify my identity. So I finally got it fixed, and I had submitted for enrollment in Red Lake Nation. It kind of all fell together that I was getting this fixed, and they opened up enrollment with the blood quantum change. And currently, my application and my daughter's and both of our amended and corrected birth certificates are sitting in the enrollment office at Red Lake Nation because everything is shut down.
Right. And it's a big pile, too. They enrolled about 2,600 people before that happened. And it was interesting because one of the questions, and it doesn't matter if you're enrolled or not as far as I'm concerned, but one of the questions I do ask my students if they are and it was interesting because since the blood quantum changed in Red Lake, which I believe if you were born in 1958 or before, you became automatically full, which is a game changer, by the way. I think a couple of my students came up to me and said, "Hey, I'm enrolled now." And it was like, "Wow, good for you," you know. And it was just like, so I think a lot of the tribes are going to have to take a look at that down the road because people my age and a little older are you know, Native Americans. I mean, to be an elder in my tribe, you only have to be 60. Because people didn't live that long, you know. So even as far as 25, 30 years ago, and still people are passing away pretty soon. Or, you know, when you're 70 and Native, you look 90. It's been a rough road for a lot of people and our people. But I think one of the, and it's exciting to have you on the show, but I think we should get to this, get to the drawing. And what are they going to win again?
It's going to be their choice of a Native Roots Radio t-shirt. I know you were saying you've got several there, different colors, different patterns, different prints. So
different
sizes always. So you can work with Robert to kind of make your choice of what you'd like. And then obviously I think we'll mail it out to people just due to the COVID. But I think I'm going to actually bring on my partner Jace here for a minute as my Vanna White, since I cut out all the names. Jace, do you want to come over here? And would you be willing to do us the honors? This is kind of a mix of current technology and old technology to get the list from Facebook and yet draw it from a hat.
Jace is missing a mustache on his beard there. Where's your mustache? good one. So let's get this drawing done, and then we're going to say Haijuoni to everybody.
All right. Get a book. Are we?
Well,
all right. You drawing?
Yes.
Okay.
This is good radio.
All right. Ooh. All right. So our winner is Soren Sorensen.
Oh, wow.
So you're going to have to get in touch with Robert, Soren, and claim your Native Roots Radio t-shirt.
And if you don't mind, put that out on the
that
Soren won. And was that a picture of her or was that a stamp?
That was when I printed it off of Facebook, everybody's picture came with it. So we got Soren Sorensen's photo right here with the name.
Well, cool. I got to say, Peeny Geegee, thank you for being on our show and keep up the great work. And thank you so much for supporting us by all the background work you're doing, too. And you're working along with American Indian Movement St. Paul, too. And I really appreciate all the things that you're doing for us, too, in the background. And we're going to get a lot of great things coming from you and your family.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Right on. You've been listening to and watching Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're out.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Cudahy to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pinigi, and thank you for your support.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
I'm in Minnesota. This is Peggy Flanagan. In addition to being Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota, I'm a member of the White Earth Band of Ojibwe. This month, we are celebrating American Indian Month. The land now known as the state of Minnesota is home to American Indian people, people who have been here since time immemorial, and whose historic and ongoing contributions make our state special and unique. In addition to the 11 tribal nations in this state, we have a vibrant urban Indian community that makes Minnesota what it is today. While we can't be together for now, we are honoring our community by staying apart to keep each other safe.
I would like to end with these thoughts. If you are listening to the show, you are the resistance. From Chief Plenipoops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I've been your host, Robert Pilot. The revolution is kicking into high gear, and I would like to thank all my listening audience, our sponsors, and especially our guests, which make this show. If you are listening to this show, you are the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier. Hey, Cudahy to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pinigi, and thank you for your support.